Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's a Best of Brian Lehrer show today, so we won't be taking your calls, but you can continue the conversation on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, or on Twitter at Brian Lehrer, or Facebook, where it's Brian Lehrer WNYC. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, sports concussions in the U.S. have reached an epidemic level. Every year, there are millions of sports-related concussions in the U.S., millions. Perhaps most disturbing, concussion rates for young adults are on the rise. Our next guest is nationally recognized concussion expert, Dr. Robert Cantu. He is chief of neurosurgery at Emerson Hospital in Concord, Massachusetts, and he has a new book, Concussions and Our Kids, America's leading expert on how to protect young athletes and keep sports safe. Dr. Cantu, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
And kids have played youth sports forever. Protection equipment or protective equipment is probably better than ever. Are concussions really on the rise?
No, I'm not really convinced they're on the rise, at least as far as dramatically as the numbers would indicate. They're certainly being better recognized, but even though we're better recognizing them now, we're still not recognizing most of them. So it's a big problem.
Are children particularly vulnerable to traumatic brain injuries?
Yes, Brian, they are. Their brains are not fully myelinated. Myelin's the coating on the nerve fibers. It's like coating on a telephone wire. It gives structure. Young brains also are housed in disproportionately large skulls. Young child at the age of four has 90% of the head circumference of an adult. Those big heads are on very weak necks, and that predisposes them to much more profound brain damage from a given impact.
Listeners, we have a few minutes if anybody wants to call and ask a question about sports-related concussions to Dr. Robert Cantu, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. The book is called Concussions in Our Kids, but you also write about young adults, right?
We do. Certainly they're not immune from concussions, and the long-term implications are the same. I think the overriding thing is let's not be paranoid about it, but let's understand that no head trauma is good head trauma, and whenever we can minimize it or reduce it, we should.
Is football the leading culprit in terms of which sport?
Well, it's the leading culprit because so many more kids play football than other sports. 4 million at the youth level, and 1,500,000 at the high school level. So it is the most participated in collision sports, so the most concussions come out of football.
How far would you go in recommending that the prevalence of youth football change? I mean, I can tell you as a parent of two boys who've been very active in youth sports, seeing them play baseball, seeing them play soccer, you know, they're all injuries. They're all, every sport can wind up with injuries, but there is something about football and the way that they crunch their heads together as a, you know, routine part of the game that made me recoil from it, and luckily my kids weren't interested in it. But should this be even a youth sport at all?
Well, in the book, we definitely put forward the arguments for no collision sports like football under the age of 14. We want kids to have the option to play flag football if they want. We want them to have the option to learn tackling techniques with a tackling dummy, but not bashing heads.
But not bashing heads. So not in the way we generally think of football with the helmets and the direct line-to-line contact.
That's correct. And it was 2 years ago when we went to USA Football to discuss these various issues, and they turned around and basically said to me, Bob, we'd be very happy if we only had flag football under the age of 14, but the parents won't go for it. Parents won't sign their kids up to play flag football. And that's when I realized I had to write a book and get some of the concerns out there.
Brian in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Dr. Cantu. Hello.
Hello, Brian. Thanks very much for taking my call. A great, great show.
Thank you.
And this is a issue that's really dear to my heart and my moral conscience. I played football for 12 years at the youth level, high school, and then 4 years of college, and I was a running back and carried the ball over 600 times in college, and then coached for 17 years over, you know, from 1980 to 2006. So I'm well aware of the issues. And I think I'm a sufferer from chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which can start at a really early age. Because of the nature of football and the helmet and helmet design and the so-called improvement of helmet design, and what that what those helmets do is prevent the skull fractures and the contusions to the head, but they really do not prevent, you know, what we're talking about is this brain bouncing against the skull.
Do you think, Brian, that there could be a better design helmet that would mitigate the injuries more effectively?
No. I think we need to go backwards to leather helmets.
What do you think about that, Doctor?
I certainly agreed with just about everything he said until he got to the leather helmet.
Huh.
And he's absolutely right that in the sport of football, where the majority of the concussions come from rotational forces being imparted to the brain, those forces where you're being hit on the side of the head and the head is violently swiveled on the neck, the helmet will not dramatically reduce those forces. That having been said, the helmets that are there do prevent skull fracture, and they do prevent most intracranial bleeding. And so they do a great job, and I'm all for helmets continuing to get better and better.
But, Brian, is your point about...
they're not going to solve the problem.
Brian, was your point about going back to leather helmets that it just won't allow them to do the kind of hitting that they do now?
Correct. Yeah, because it's a violent, vicious game. I mean, it's a game of intimidation.
So the head, and forgive me, I'm going to cut you off because our time is short, but he's making a point that the helmets,
yes, but my
sophisticated...
answer would be this. In 1905, there were 25 deaths from skull fractures playing football. And going back to a helmet that's less protective will just lead to greater deaths. In 1968, there were 38 deaths, and Noxy came into being to certify football helmets. Mm-hmm. So going back to a less protective helmet is not the answer. The answer is making sure the rules that are there, meaning you can't use the head as the initial point of contact in blocking and tackling, are enforced, and currently they're not.
Ann in Fairfield, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thanks.
I have a daughter who is now 17, and at 15 she sustained a concussion doing what she thought was a fun gymnastics move where she hit the back of her head on a wooden floor. And I think anyone who has lived through this would strongly be against contact sports, especially during these really developmental years. And I have my other question really is there a difference between the severity of female versus male concussions based on neck strength?
Well, we think that the major reason why young ladies report twice as many concussions as guys in the same sports that girls and guys play, like ice hockey and soccer and basketball, is because of two things. One, as a group, girls are more honest reporting symptoms than guys. But number two, just what you bring up, their necks are weaker, and because their necks are weaker, with the same amount of force being directed to the body, more of it winds up to the brain. In other words, if you can have a very strong neck and tense it as the blow comes, you greatly reduce the accelerations the brain will see. The weaker the neck, the greater the acceleration the brain sees, the greater chance for concussion.
Yeah, I mean, I see my friends with sons pushing these contact sports, and I only wish to go through what we've gone through with her and the learning difficulties and the headaches and the everything else that has been well over a year of trying to recover from this. It's really dangerous, scary, and, you know, not great for kids.
Well, you bring up a very cogent point, though, because gymnastic activity should not be done on a hardwood floor. They should be done only on mats, where if a misstep is taken, the catastrophic consequences aren't there.
Thank you for your call. We've just got about a minute and a half left. Would you go so far as to get on the bandwagon? It's not much of a bandwagon, but I attended a debate here in New York recently on the proposition that college football should be banned. And people like Malcolm Gladwell and Buzz Bissinger were the onstage debaters arguing for a ban, largely on the basis of the prevalence of life-changing concussions.
No, I really wouldn't, Brian. And I believe that anyone who's over the age of 18 can decide what they want to do. And as long as society agrees that it's okay to do, we let them do. But I think they need to understand the issues. And I think they need to understand the basic concept that no head trauma is good head trauma. So take as little as you can. And that means practicing. You shouldn't be hitting hard to the head in practice. If you modify practice, you can take a lot of the head collisions out of football.
The book is called Concussions and Our Kids, America's leading expert on how to protect young athletes and keep sports safe. The author is Dr. Robert Cantu, wrote it with Mark Hyman. Dr. Cantu is chief of neurosurgery and department of surgery chair and sports medicine at Emerson Hospital in Concord, Massachusetts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.